Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, Toda, my dear, and Shalom, saints of God. We are very glad you have tuned in tonight for a very important teaching that, without this understanding of a certain idiomatic phrase, could lead you in the wrong direction concerning end-time prophecy, which we all need because we are definitely in those days.
Amen.
So let's ask for God's blessing.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless your name, O Lord. We honor and praise you in all things, for you bring great goodness into our lives. Thank you for your word that feeds us and sustains us. Please show extra favor to those who are called by your name, who are sick among us. May they experience joy in their suffering while faithfully anticipating their healing. We lift up in prayer the salvations of our loved ones. Please do whatever it takes to bring them to their knees. We pray wisdom to all our government leaders to fulfill your will as we endure the foreshadowing of your Son's return. We ask all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And what a great prayer. Thank you, honey. Tonight, we really want to emphasize the importance of understanding a particular idiomatic phrase of...
in that day.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting a few questions that imply that some aren't aware. And since we haven't detailed this in about 4 years, it's certainly time to revisit because it really is important to appreciate this, what I think is an eye-opening Hebrew term.
But first, anything newsworthy to speak on?
You could say that. President Biden had a meeting at the White House today with Mexico's President Obrador, and he's leaving tonight to visit the stand-in Prime Minister Lapid in Israel, and the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, and Saudi Arabia. That'll finish up on Friday, where he's expected to beg for more oil.
Yeah, instead of using our own.
And more evidence is proving that Biden is truly compromised, and his support is really dropping.
As well it should.
He blames everything on something else rather than himself. Under Trump, we were energy independent, and now we are not. And it's affecting everything and everybody while truly helping our enemies. And now we learn that Biden is taking our emergency oil reserves and giving it to other countries.
Even to China.
Yeah. Through a company that has monetary ties with Hunter Biden. All this, of course, makes us less secure because we have less of it should we be attacked or a host of other scenarios. But we are on a very dangerous path while still pushing for an Iran deal with Russia as the mediator.
But it's all part of the Great Reset.
Yes, along with our proxy war in Ukraine to further increase our debt, along with our border invasion of at least so far 2 million immigrants and tons of drugs, especially fentanyl, to help depopulate us. It's like a nightmare expecting to wake up from all of it.
But it's very real.
It's the globalist agenda toward a one-world government and the New World Order that, as Christians who study prophecy, even just a little study, we get it. And it is better, and very bitter. It's better, bittersweet, and a necessary precursor of a more sure sign we are soon leaving for our own new world.
Well, we can all rejoice about that.
But there's more. Washington has apparently leaked to Iran, to gain their favor, that it was indeed Israel who assassinated their top Iranian engineer and others.
We're stabbing Israel in the back.
On many fronts. More on all the meetings next week. But everyone knows that the Saudi Arabian Ben Salman hates Biden, especially after Biden called him a pariah. But even more so when Biden removed the Houthis in Yemen, who are the Iranian proxy army, he took them off the terrorist watch list. Even though missiles from this group in Yemen, which Saudi Arabia borders on, is hitting them on a pretty regular basis with missiles.
Saudi Arabia will make Israel their ally before Biden.
I agree. Or perhaps as a tactical move, tell Biden what he wants to hear and then stab him in the back later.
But we'll all address this next week.
Okay. Meanwhile, the Dems with two rhinos keep on with their ridiculous January 6th hearings to make sure Trump is not allowed to run in 2024.
Well, because they expect the Attorney General to indict him.
We'll see. And Steve Bannon, a Trump loyalist, has agreed to comply with their subpoena, but only if done on live TV. But the committee, of course, wants it behind closed doors, for obvious reasons, so that probably won't happen. But one thing is certain. They will make sure one way or another that Trump will not be president in 2025. I can pretty much promise you that.
Are you 100% sure?
Okay, I'll say 99%.
All right.
A good thing happened, though, to the Georgia Guidestones last week. You know, where the globalists printed their 10 goals on these tall granite slabs in all different languages?
It was bombed.
Yes. And remember their first goal, number one, is to reduce the population to 500 million.
Sounds crazy.
It is crazy. But not if you read Revelation.
This is true.
So the displays have been destroyed, but their goals are still front and center. And a recent study from three Israeli fertility clinics published a report in the Journal of Andrology that said that men who take the COVID-19 injections experience massive decreases in sperm counts. The report said that the shots fight against men's reproductive capacity, rendering them impotent and, in some cases, sexless.
Well, that contradicts our government.
Oh, yeah, Big Pharma, who said shots were safe and effective.
Well, they are liars.
You think? But we knew it from the beginning, and we talked about it, including the probable miscarriages, because There was evidence that the contents of the shots reached both the ovaries in female rats and testes in male rats. And the shots have been linked to causing AIDS and monkeypox. Time is telling us some sad truths.
So, how are they rebutting the low sperm count?
Oh, it's just temporary, they say, and of course that's what they must say. But that statement has not been substantiated at all. And let's leave tonight's news portion with another crazy but very real tidbit. Take it, honey.
Biden appointed a transgender drag queen to the Nuclear Energy Department.
Yeah, he is an engineer and an LGBTQ activist. His name is Samuel Brinton. You can check it out, Brinton. He's a homosexual prostitution defender who also goes by the drag queen alter ego name of
Sister Radioactive.
Radioactive, that's pretty cool.
Okay, we do welcome all of your comments and end time questions either by email to SheilaShofarMinistries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated. And we'll be sure to include you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay, are you ready for some Hebraic Roots 101?
For sure.
All right, then. What does it mean when you read in Scripture that something will happen in that day?
It means in the future, immediately after the rapture.
Because it always means the seventh and last 1,000-year period.
So, it comes at the close of 6,000 years from Adam's creation.
Yeah. So let's go back to Genesis, to the greatest first picture or typological teaching written thousands of years ago by Moses.
The picture of creation.
Yes, because typology is truly God-designed, and it's to be a genuine form of predictive prophecy stemming from the patterns of his word. Now, of course, we should take the Bible literally whenever possible first. Then, as we mature, we look for the typology it represents. And each story we read is not just true, but is also a picture of something or someone else. It's your gold nugget. It's a treasure that God has hidden, but actually in plain sight for you. Remember what he says in Proverbs 25, honey? Please read verse 2 from the ESV, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls version.
It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search things out.
And we are kings and priests, according to Revelation 1, so God expects us to look for his gold nuggets.
So, let's look.
Okay. All right. Before time was eternity, and after time will be eternity again. But when God created the heavens and the earth, he also created time.
So, one morning and one evening equals one 24-hour day.
Yes. The second day, he divided the waters and made the firmament. Third day, plant life. And the fourth day, the sun for photosynthesis. And the fourth day is a huge clue to confirm that each day had to be 24 hours.
Otherwise, the plants would not survive.
That's right. And we know that God functions within the limitations of natural laws that he himself put into place. Now, the fifth day was birds and fish. The sixth day, the rest of the animals and Adam, which is why six is the number for man, one short of complete. Someday will be a seven.
And Jesus is the number eight.
Yep, meaning never ending as in eternity. So then, on the seventh day, God rested. Now let me ask everyone an important question. Was God tired since Genesis says he rested?
No, it's a type.
Or better yet, why did he take 6 days when he could have done it all in a minute?
It's a typology.
Absolutely. He wants us to know something very important.
And God does not waste Scripture.
Everything is there for a reason. The 6 literal days of creation, well, it's also confirmed in Exodus 20, verse 11.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Okay, let me repeat. We first take the scriptures literally. This is so even a child can understand it. Then, as we mature, we look for the picture or typology that it represents. The Old Testament contains hundreds of pictures, mostly revealed in the New Testament. So the bottom line here, and from my many years of study, is that each day of creation represents 1,000 years that man will be here before eternity future starts again. The last 1,000 years represents the final day of the millennial kingdom period, with the first 7 years of it being the judgment of God's wrath on earth. Or, if you're righteous, you're going to spend that in heaven, because we're going to be on our honeymoon. And of course, We have a couple scriptures confirming this truth. Let's begin with Psalm 90 and verse 4.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night.
So, pretty quick to God. And then there's Psalm 84, verse 10.
For a day in your courts is better than 1,000.
Now, Peter, revealing his death was near in the New Testament, he's a little more clear. Let's read 2 Peter 3, verse 8.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing.
Okay, hold that for a second. For Peter, nearing death, to point out that we need to remember this one thing, think about it. That means it must be pretty important, wouldn't you say?
Most definitely.
You know what, honey? I think we should read that again.
Okay, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Now, when you read 2 Peter 3 in context, and I implore you to do so, he's talking about the last days. He also mentions creation and the judgment. So what he is saying is a huge clue that at the end of 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, judgment will come.
While the righteous is in heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah. And then we will return with Jesus at the end of the tribulation for the remaining 993 years on earth in his earthly messianic kingdom. And by the way, first and second century learned men taught this same typology and regarding starting with creation and many others. Scripture does say we should keep to what was first taught.
2 Timothy 1 and Titus 1.
Now, because of human error, in all the calendars, and by the way, God wanted it that way, we cannot be sure when the 6,000 years is up.
Instead, we mostly rely on clues.
And he has surely given our generation huge clues that we are very close. And it, as we have been saying, the dividing of Jerusalem in the last days is the cherry on top of all the other clues and that we're watching for. So now it is easier to see how and why God in his word used the phrase in that day or the day, because it always refers to the seventh day to last 1,000 years. Sometimes in that day refers to the beginning of the tribulation, or better put, the dark time of the day. Or it can refer to the light part of the day in reference in Yeshua's return. And that's when he sets up his kingdom on earth. So, this is why in creation, God said the first part of every 24 hours will be in the night, because at sundown is when the calendar changes to the next day. That, too, is a type of spiritual darkness coming first in the 7,000th year we call the tribulation, before the light of Jesus returns to set up his kingdom.
So, still the same day, but darkness coming first and then the light.
Right. Trib first, representing the dark, then the millennial kingdom, representing the light.
You know, that's a great typology.
And we have a little more confirmation. Think about this. Ever wonder why God told Adam and Eve this and recorded it in Genesis 2:17?
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
But they didn't die. Oh, most say, well, that meant spiritually. And I guess you could say that too. But if you take it literally and apply the day as 1,000 years, then it makes sense, because Adam lived 930 years. So he died before the first day of the 1,000 years was over. Now, to confirm this, when you look up the word die, it is muth, number 4191 in Hebrew. Check it out. It obviously does mean, and it tells you, a physical dead body. So again, when you read in scripture, in that day or that day, it always refers to the last 1,000 years of man's time. So if you are reading from the prophets, as in Daniel 8, 9, 10, or 11, if you do not see in that day, it usually refers to what was later fulfilled after Daniel wrote about it, but way before today's generation. There is typology, as in the little horn of Daniel 8, which speaks of the coming ruler from Daniel's writings, Antiochus Epiphanes, who, by the way, was raised in Rome. Most people don't know that. So he came after Daniel wrote it. But Antiochus Epiphanes was also a type of the Antichrist, as the little horn out of Rome, referenced by Daniel in chapter 7, verse 8. And in the New Testament, represents the beast having 10 horns in Revelation 13. And as I understand it from Daniel 9, 24 through 27, the Antichrist will come from the same peoples who destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And that, of course, is Rome. So therefore, it's not a Muslim country. In fact, actually, the Vatican created the Muslim religion by deceptively convincing an Arab named Mohammed to help Rome fight its enemies to gain Jerusalem. That plan fell through, and the Muslims grew strong quite quickly and decided they wanted Jerusalem. So then the Vatican organized another army called the Crusaders and promised them time off in purgatory for fighting.
You know, that's true.
Mm-hmm. But did you ever wonder why Pope John Paul kissed the Quran in 1999? Or that the Muslims also pray on beads and the women wear clothing similar to the nuns? Until recently, although some orders still do. All covered up. We archived a program on all this dated 2/11/14, and this teaching can also be found at Chick Publications, still available to order through them. So, this week, read Zechariah and underline every time you see in that day or that day. I think you will agree it always refers to the future, and the bride is not here for the first 7 years. While evil is removed, then Jesus will set up his kingdom on a cleaned up earth. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, are you saved? Are you the bride of Christ? Is Yeshua Lord over your life? You know, Luke 21 says we can escape what's coming with just a simple prayer. Admit you're a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. Then let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. I'm going to have to leave you now, but we have a little special treat. I'm going to leave you tonight with the Aaronic blessing, but this time sung by a Hebrew rabbi. Enjoy and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.